This is Pete and KEY along with K2RIW, who is right now in Mobile. And Dick will be at the home CPH, but we can actually get started. And Dick is, I guess, everybody who's listening right now hears him. He's coming in quite well. So if we can take her here, start the tech test. This is KEY listening.
This is W2PNJ, just listening, no comments, just checking in. This is Bob, W2, Papa November Julius.
WS2N, Paul. Good evening, Mel. Good evening, Dick. And I guess we'll do a space report. Back to you, Mel.
Okay, W2PNJ, Bob. Thank you for joining us. No questions so far. And Paul, good to hear you. Haven't heard you now in a couple of weeks. Paul, hope all is well. With the space report, we look forward to that. Of course, yes, quite a bit going on with the space shuttle. And anybody else who would like to join us, this is K2KEY and the Limar Tech Man listening.
K2YO, my name is Bernie. No questions at this time.
And Mr. K2YL, please give me your name again.
The name is Bernie, B-E-R-N-I-E.
Thank you, Bernie, K2YL. Okay. No questions so far. Anybody else? Well, I'm sure somebody out there has a question or a comment about all our as Dick will say, Jazz. Anybody most likely can think something to comment about. This is KEY listening. Well, Dick, what can I say? I think we have exhausted just about all subjects, all questions on everything related to this amateur radio world. K2RIW in the Mobile. This is K2KEY.
Yeah, somehow I doubt that, Mel, but it certainly is possible. That we've answered everybody's questions. It only took us 25 years to do it. But I think being summertime, some people are on vacation. Okay, I'm getting into a complicated driving operation. I'll see you in about 5 to 10 minutes.
K2RIW clear. Hey, take care. Take it easy now. All right, this is K2KEY. Let's see, I guess we can comment on weather conditions. Let's say, being a real super beautiful day, as I was saying, the day goes down the beach. Just a perfect 10 day, sun is shining, little soul up there, and a little bit of a breeze blowing. However, the other day we had a unique situation here, a tornado. Believe it or not, a tornado. All things touched down here in Brooklyn, and considerable amount of damage in certain areas of Brooklyn. Houses that were over 100 years old never really had any kind of damage from weather, and over 100 years, all of a sudden, had their roofs ripped off. Trees, old trees that actually also been standing there for many years, also uprooted, and a number of cars parked, of course, on the streets were extremely damaged. Some of the big trees came down. But this was really a kind of anomaly that, you know, you seldom would think you'd hear here in Brooklyn of a tornado. So is this a sign of weather? Really conditions that a dire prediction that we're going to have more and more unusual weather. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I guess only time will tell. But if anyone else would like to comment that they have any kind of unusual weather conditions in the last few days, this is KEY at TechNet listening.
WS2N.
Go ahead, Paul.
some years ago, I guess about, oh, I don't know, probably about 5 or 8 years ago, one came through Ronkonkoma here. And down by the lake, trees went over. And I'm probably about, oh, I guess, maybe 5 minutes from where that actually occurred. And, you know, we had heavy rain and hail, but, you know, I didn't even lose any branches here. I wonder if that's the same that happened with you, Mel. In other words, if you're 5 minutes driving time, say, I don't know, 4 or 5 miles away, nothing happened by you, but it's just local, right in that immediate area. Is that what happened?
Precisely, Paul. It was, well, driving, I should say, or as a crow flies, would be about 2 miles from here. And it touched down just in an area that, in fact, a lot of people, you know, were so flabbergasted by the fact that across the street from them, you know, the narrow, somewhat narrow street, the old streets of Brooklyn, and some of these narrow streets, they found that their neighbors across the street had their roofs ripped up and all kinds of damage to their house. And could imagine what happened, because right across the street there was absolutely no problem whatsoever. Now, some years ago here, where I am, I saw a funnel come out. They called it a water spout. But that was quite something to see, you know, traveling along the ocean and along the beach here. And some people have reported that they did see some kind of weather anomaly by the Verrazano Bridge. The Verrazano Bridge is exactly due south almost of where the problem happened. So if you know where the Verrazano Bridge is located, and you went north, approximately maybe about a mile from that point, within that mile, that's where that tornado basically did touch down. So, it's, you know, this is something that maybe, I don't know, you know, how often it happens in the, you know, city of New York, in the five boroughs, but I would say that this is really, you know, very, very unusual. I don't know when the last one really has been seen in the city of New York proper all over.
Okay, yeah, well, I know that. They said on the news, it's the first one since they've been keeping records. They said since 1960. That's kind of hard to believe that they didn't keep records before that. But I guess that's possible. You know, they said modern history. So, you know, 1960 on. I don't know. I would think they would have kept records before that. Then I heard another report it was over 100 years. Any tornado ever hit the Brooklyn area. I don't know about Queens. What are you going to do? I know we had one here in Iceland. I'm off on Iceland, but that was, I'm on the northern part of Iceland about 5 or 6 weeks ago. There was one in Iceland Terrace south of me down by Sunrise Highway. And it affected quite a bit of damage. Very local. Very, very local. Amazing how that happened. So, okay, very good, Mel. And if you want to type up some questions, I usually take too much time up with the space net, but I mean, I do have a question if you need one. I've been thinking about for a while now. Back to you.
Okay, very good, Paul. WF2N, KQYN, and TechNet. Well, yeah, you would think that if they, you know, keep records going way back of everything, the total amount of snow that we have here, the total amount of rainfall, peak temperatures, constant air that, you know, when we had the record temperature, the record low for that day. So I think that if it would have been anything like a tornado in previous years, we surely would have heard about it. In fact, I don't think that they ever really documented really a tornado here in Brooklyn area over the past maybe a couple of hundred years, 150 years, but I may be wrong, but I have never heard any mention of it. In fact, it was completely surprised everybody that they questioned it severely at first, that now it could have been a tornado, but you believe these scientists that come down there, you know, quite a ruckus down there. A few people are, you know, live in that area that was talking to this morning on the TechNet, before the TechNet, we have the 11 meter net this morning, and they told me, oh, I found a fire truck there, emergency police department vehicle, and then these National Weather Bureau and all kinds of things were measuring it, things and examining the way the trees were snapped and the two names, they had all kinds of investigations, and they confirmed that it was a tornado. All right, before we get to your question, Paul, is there anybody else who would like to join us? This is KTYX-KTYRW, working here at the Limar TechNet. Anybody who would like to ask any questions?
WHCDL, good evening. I'm on the road, but I can't hold it long. Not a question, just a, want to just, well, I got a question. Hey, ask you a question, Mel. Go ahead.
Hey, Andy. Good evening to you. WHCDL, this is K2KY. All right. Put you down. Are you mobile right now, Andy? Over.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to be, designated pretty soon. No, it's not a technical question for the net. It's just a question regarding the repeater. I just want to ask you a question about it.
Okay, in your mobile, Andy, maybe you ought to ask the question so that we make sure we get you in before you possibly get into a location that we cannot copy you. So go ahead, ask your question first, Andy.
All right, now you'll copy me without any trouble. I just want to know, I noticed the beeper's not there, which is good. Now, I did some work on the repeater this morning, and I wanted to make sure that it went into the net mode properly. When I wasn't listening before 8 o'clock, is it identified with net time like it's supposed to? Have you heard that?
I may have been transmitting at the time. I was talking to Dick starting in approximately about 5 minutes before 8. And it's possible that while I was making the transmission, I may have missed that announcement. Did anybody hear that announcement, that time on frequency, over?
WS1.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard net time. I don't remember if you were transmitting that, but I did hear net time, Andy. Good evening to you.
Okay, that's good. I just wanted to make sure it was there. And it should be there, but it's not going to do it often. I think it's once every half an hour, or maybe even less than that, a little bit less. Or rather more than that, more than a half an hour. Okay. That's fine. The next few weeks, we'll be continuing on the linking. We're actually working on it now, and we've been working on it. There's a couple of issues. We got some intermod problems we got to solve, and one of the radios decided to stop working. So I don't know why. I got to find out what happened to that. But we're getting there. And then once that's done, I'll take a little bit more coverage. So, I want to get that completed soon, but we already started the project, so that's it. All right, I'm pulling up now after B, so I'll let you guys continue and speak to you later if you're going to be when I come back, I'll turn it on. Mel, WCDL.
Hey, Andy, very good. Thank you. And so far, the repeats work real well on this end, so you did a great job, as always. And yeah, we'll be here hopefully for a while. Listen, I know it's not simple. People think, you know, just tweak something and it's ready to go. You know, a lot of times there are technical difficulties and it takes time to work them out. All right, Andy, thank you very much for all your work that you do on that repeater. We all appreciate it. Paul, you want to ask a question? Go ahead, please.
Okay, Mel. Boy, that would be great if they got back on. I hope it works on transit. I'm able to sit in the backyard with my HD. And work the other repeater. Wow. That'll be a big step forward. Now that I'm thinking about it. Mel, question about lightning. I'm thinking about the weather. You know, people always ask questions about the antenna or the grounding. Should be grounded outside or ground your radio, ground everything. Disconnect your coax cable maybe during a lightning storm. Lightning arrests and all of this. Short at the ground. I have a rotator up there. I wonder what you do for rotators and mount. I got this Alliance HD73 rotator. You know, with a cable going up there. That thing's wired into the box, plugged into the wall. Look at the meter as I swing this thing around. And I often wonder if during a storm, you know, if I get zapped, you know, I never see any advertisements for lightning protection on these rotators. I wonder if you have any words on that now. KCKYWS.
Unlike anything else, the way the rotator is mounted, my situation, the rotator actually sits beside the tower. It sits approximately about 2 feet or so below the top of the tower. And there's a bearing that is above the rotor, and then a second bearing up where it exits the pipe exit to the tower. Now, being that the rotor is in the tower is well grounded. The casing of the tower of the rotor is, of course, mounted to the tower. So I would assume that the rotor is fairly well protected in this sort of cage situation. If the any antenna that's poking up there, I assume you should run a good ground strap from the support, the mast, or if it's just a mast, a pipe with a rotor sitting on top of it, that pipe should be grounded properly. And of course, again, the casing of the rotor being making good bond to this pipe. And with the antenna above it, I would say gives it a fairly good ground. As far as maybe a direct hit creating a high EMF, into the rotor, into the case, and getting actually into the motor assembly inside there, and down the case, down the cable and all, I guess it's all possible. I think it would be kind of unlikely, but with lightning, anything's possible. So proper line of a grounding system, I think, should protect you. I've never heard really any trouble, with burnouts of rotors or control box in most cases because of the way it, the casing is, protecting basically inside whatever mechanism is in there. Now, the only thing, of course, you got a rotor. Besides the motors, a lot of gears and everything basically, just about a ground potential. But again, it's the way you protect the whole installation that's important. The rule of thumb is, of course, take the coax off and unplug anything that possibly that's exposed to the lightning. I believe that's the fact. Most of your problems with lightning comes up the AC line. There's where it seems to be the greatest amount of damage caused in homes and all. I've seen a number of houses where, things like outlets were blown out, circuit breakers completely gone, wiring in the wall fried and all. So I think the chances are more that you're going to get hit on the AC line and travel the AC line in the lightning than almost your antenna. What I do in the shack is when I pull the switch, which kills all the power to the shack, that switch takes the side that goes to the equipment and grounds it so that I'm completely isolated from both the neutral and the hotline into the shack. Of course, disconnecting coax, that's a short thing to get the coax away from the equipment. I think that's about the best way to protect myself, even though I've had a couple of hits on the tower, which, you know, pokes up 85 feet here, which is the highest thing around the area, so it becomes a big lightning threat here. But I desensitized the top of the tower. That may be also a good contributing factor to reducing the amount of lightning damage. On top of my mast that pokes up above the top beam is a pin, a sharpened pin, so that the light desensitizes. In other words, the lightning can only hit a fine needle point, which, you know, actually is like wire taking a piece of wire and making, you know, a thin piece of wire becomes actually a fuse. It reduces the amount of current that possibly can be, you know, taken down from that point. So it thins, it would have to, this lightning actually has to thin out and to a fine point at the top of the tower. And so far, so good. Paul, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Very good. I never hear anybody talking about their control boxes, you know, being blown out. So, you know, very good. That puts very relaxed about that answer. And, you know, you think about those things all the time, though. You know, is there all kinds of dipoles, and by the way, I disconnect my coax every chance I get, especially, you know, if I hear lightning coming by. I definitely disconnect. But I know I never could disconnect that doesn't wire going into it. And according to the schematic, there's all kinds of transistors and everything else inside. Things that go blow. But never know. Take a look at that. Just, if you're saying that it's coming up the AC line is the problem, you'd like to be able to see that at least maybe a fuse to protect something like that coming through. Nothing's protecting it, I know that. But very good now. You know, hey, one other comment. You ever see these outlets? 120 outlets that you plug everything into your house? You know, you pull it out of the wall, regular receptacle. Push-in types that they use. I just want to make a comment. I think they're terrible all the time, boy. A couple of times I've had that here. Where they go bad, you think that it was in there solid and it's not. But change that out. Put the screw type in. I didn't see the push type anymore. Maybe they did away with it. If they didn't, I think they should. I'll make a comment about those things. The outdoor plug, the outdoor receptacle, gives me trouble. Sure enough, the white wire, the white black one, is the receptacle. And it's barely touching anything instead of really grabbing it. You know, and I can imagine inside, you know, there's very little surface area to grabbing on wires. Millions of these houses put together like that. And, give me a little wire around it, tighten it down, and I would think it'd probably be better. I don't know, attrition, but that's what I think. Yeah, back to you there, Mel, WS.
KC2LIN.
Okay, KC2LIN, I believe it is. Recognized. Well, Paul, with lightning, what can I say about lightning? It's as unpredictable as anyone else. I guess more unpredictable than weather conditions. You don't know what it's going to do, so always go on the side of faith. You don't, of course, do any work up there on your antennas if it's threatening. You don't get involved in any kind of a situation where you're exposed outside the lightning or even in the shack or whatever. We've had so many horrors here along the beach, especially when lightning comes up. People should always be out on the boardwalk or out on the beach. They don't need anything. In fact, we had a young fellow get killed here about a year ago, right near the Verrazano Bridge on the bicycle path, riding on the bicycle path during a rainstorm. And lightning came down and hit him right on the head. Killed him. And we constantly hear this, just like people on golf courses, you know, take refuge and find out their retreat. And one of the worst places to be, you know, during a storm. So, what can I say? You know, the lightning give it its thing, you know, and don't try to interfere with it. Do the best you can do to protect yourself. Like I say, a lot of these electrical systems are very vulnerable, and I understand that most of the time the hit is on the AC line, so protect yourself that way as best you can, I guess. Okay, we have another thing. Join us. With an L-Y-L-I-N or something to that sort, help you, and what is your name, please?
The name here is Brendan. We're only receiving about half of what you're, you know, you're saying. You're broken up completely. It's almost impossible to read any of your information.
Really? Right, I'm sorry. I don't understand why. Paul, are you able to copy me? Over.
100% copy. I wonder where the other station is. What if you're out east here? I'm out in Suffolk County. I used to have problems like that. What if the other repeater was coming in Connecticut? That'll do it. Mel, 100% copy on you, Mel.
Pardon my stone, Mel. It's Leo.
Okay, N2EO. Okay, Rich. Brennan, tell us where you are that you are having problems copying us, over.
I'm in Western Nassau in Baldwin. I never have any problem copying anybody from Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, you know, some of the upstate areas of New Jersey. So I don't know. I just think there's a problem. Over.
Okay. Brendan, what is exactly is your call? KT2? I got L, but that's about it. Over.
KC2HNA.
1 second, please. KC2, Brandon, please give me your complete call. Over.
KC2LIM. M as in Mike. I'm not hearing enough even when you called me to give you a response. So I think I'm just going to say 73.
Does he copy me, Mel, 100%?
Brendan, do you get copy on Paul, WS2N, or any of the other stations? Is it just on my signal, or are you having general problems with the repeater, Brendan? Over.
Okay, this is KC2LIM. I'm not having any problems with the repeaters generally, and I am copying that other station, so I think I'm only having a serious problem with it.
Okay, having only a problem with me. Now, that's pretty hard to understand because nobody else has complained so far. Let me check with Rich. N2EO, go ahead, please.
You're fine here, Mel. Clear it up, Mel.
Seems a lot of control here. Okay, so, Rich, you are also copying me with no problems whatsoever. All right. Previously, I had started with... Dick, see if Dick is at his home QTH by now. K2RIW, with the TechNet, KEYO, you home Dick at this point, over.
KC2HNA.
K6DPZ.
Okay, I guess Dick didn't drive home yet. KC2HNA and K6DPZ. Okay, first let me take Hal before, let me just pick up KC2HNA, I believe it is. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, gentlemen. Yeah, this is KC2HNA, named Stuart. I'm by mobile coming out of the airport heading up towards Queens. And I just come across your repeater. I haven't been on the air in a long time, and I was listening, and I wanted to add some value to the troubleshooting you've got going on there. As I was listening some information there, I heard interference coming in. It sounded like it was just walking over the repeater. So maybe there's something coming in that you gentlemen don't hear out there, but we can hear on this side. So again, I'm coming out of JFK, and I'm heading up to Van Wyck. And it sounded a couple of times like there was something else keying up over the, or coming up over the repeater.
Hey, thanks, Stuart. Yeah, well, I don't hear it on this end. Everybody is green, beautiful. In fact, I was just remarking to Andy, who maintains this repeater, that he did an excellent job because it seems like there's clean as it ever been. So I can't imagine what exactly, you know, was happening. Let me pick up Hal, K60PZ. What do you observe, Hal?
K60PZ, it's solid here in the Richmond Hill. I am not hearing any interference. I just came on about 4 or 5 minutes ago. But it sounds very clean, no real complaints.
Okay, Hal. Anybody else have a comment?
W2PNJ.
MQEO with a question when you get a chance.
Okay, first we'll pick up Bob. W2PNJ, go ahead.
No problem on a copy. There's a slight buzz in the background. A slight oscillation to it, but that may be typical of the repeater itself. But no problem, no interference at all.
Okay, Bob, thank you for your comment. Yeah, this end here is beautiful. I have no problem whatsoever on anybody so far who has checked in. Anybody who just wants to make another comment, was it that you, Rich, over?
Question for the net.
Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, Mel. I think you know I'm interested in a new operation on 1.2 gigahertz, 1200 megahertz, which is not very popular. And as a result, there's not much gear imported into the United States for 1.2. I'm trying to import stuff from Japan that's not marketed here. I contacted a distributor in Japan, a store, website mostly in Japanese, a little English. I sent him an email. He never responded. Anybody have any ideas how or who I might contact to bring in from Japan? I'm looking for a 1.2 gig handy talkie. A friend of mine is looking for a mobile radio.
Okay, Rich, thank you for your comments, and I wish I could help you. Anybody can help Rich with his 1.2 gig equipment that he's looking for? Anyone have any ideas?
A quick question for you, Mel. KQRIW here. I had a rock shake my tower. The antenna rotator worked intermittent. And now I was able to aim it at the repeater. You're the president of the Kings County Radio Club in Brooklyn. Are any of the guys in Kings County on 1260, 1296, the so-called 1.2 gig band? Back to you, Mel.
My knowledge, you know, anybody in Brooklyn that's in any way involved with it so far, I have asked around, besides us, there's another club, the Kings County Repeater Association, KCRA, I've asked them, and nobody's spoken.